Sorry, I'm trying to respond to my mother. It's my okay. mother, if we talk mm-hmm. about mothers.
It's okay, we're not recording or anything.
Bye. Y'all can start.
Welcome to the Blessed Singleness Podcast.
I'm Meredith.
I'm Charity.
I'm Jerry.
Look at how we mixed that up from yeah. our usual.
We're wild and we're a couple of wild and crazy guys. What was that?
We're
Steve
not
Martin?
A couple.
We're three. Oh. And but we're the gals.
What oh, an SNL you're sketch.
Quoting. I don't
Steve Martin,
know.
And we're a couple of wild and crazy guys. I don't know if that's a bad sketch or not. I apologize. I haven't watched the whole thing. So, sorry if I referenced something that's not right. Anyways, this is the Blessed Singleness Podcast, and we are rip-raring to go.
Yeah.
Oh. Rip-raring.
Y'all,
we're out
we're
west.
We're struggling today.
We are out west today.
Howdy. We went outside this morning and took some, well, this afternoon, I guess, and took some pictures. It was so beautiful and lovely, mm-hmm. but y'all, that sun drained our brain.
We're all so tired. Yeah. So please forgive us.
We're hoping this makes some sense. If it doesn't, you hopefully won't hear it.
We might not air this, but we're going to go for it.
So if you're listening to this message, we kind of made a little sense. So good job, us.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah, yeah.
At least we thought we did. Hopefully
yeah,
you think
hopefully
we
you did. Too.
This is our theme song. I don't know if she had to record it first.
Oh.
Okay. Hit it.
Right? This is our theme song.
Well, bless.
You're so talented.
Oh, well, you girls ready?
Ready. Yeah.
Are you people listening ready?
Ready.
Oh, they answered. Okay. Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that we can all sit down here in the same room and laugh and talk about you and the struggles that we have and the things that you've taught us. Lord, all of it's just such a continuous blessing in my life. And we pray that you would be in our conversations, guide our conversations, guide our hearts, guide our thoughts as we talk through this topic that we have today. We love you so very much, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And God bless.
God, not yet. God. See you later. Listen to how much sense we have made.
Woo!
Woo! So.
Yeah.
Meredith.
So. Oh, no.
I guess.
You want me to lead it
was
out?
Was it a question or are we just
well,
discussing?
Yeah, I think that my thing is, because I recently listened to a sermon and they were talking about, you know, mothers and that Eve was technically a mother before she was called a mother. Before she was a mother. Which makes me think...
She was a mother before she birthed children.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Much, yeah. much better.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yes.
You're welcome.
So, I guess my question is, how are we mothers, those of us that are childless?
Go.
You
well,
like that one?
Because
well. I don't know the... I don't really know the answer.
I guess I never see myself as a mother because I know that there's a love and relationship there that I don't understand.
Yeah, that's true.
But I do know how much I love and just adore my nieces and nephew. And I will also say I work at a school and I don't know if I could love those kids anymore either. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just so precious to me and I just always want to be a positive element in their life. You know, I'm not their mother. I'm not someone that's going to make huge decisions for them. I'm not giving them no money. I'm not financially supporting them in any ways, but I definitely want to be someone that they think of fondly. And even if years to come, they don't even remember my name or they don't, you know, maybe remember conversations that we had, they just walk away going, that person definitely tried to pour into me somehow. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's ways that we can do, that there's still people in our lives and not just children. I think there's other humans in our life that need our support and our certain characteristics of females in general. You know, you had mentioned you had listened to a sermon about Eve being... or women being a reflection of who God is and mm-hmm. how that shows, and so us being that same reflection of other people. But mm-hmm. like, what did they say?
Well, so they were talking about women in general, about the fact that we show a side of God. We are a reflection of God's nurturing side, which, you know, I think nurturing, I don't think all women would consider themselves nurturers. Mm-hmm. But I also think that nurturing isn't always looked at as a strength. It's more of like pandering or taking care of someone, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it can be that.
Right. Well, that. But one of the things that I just thought about this, one of the things that the pastor's wife brought up was her and her kids had been watching this robin. She had built a nest and had laid her eggs, so it was the countdown for the eggs to hatch or whatever. Well, she was coming home one day, and it was a torrential rain, and she said that she was walking up her front steps, and that the bird, that she looked over at the bird's nest, and that the mama bird had her wings spread out across over the nest, and was, you know, just hanging on. I mean, the wind was blowing, and the rain was pounding, yet she was going to protect her young. Which is really a beautiful picture, I think, of what God does for us. Yeah, and so the fact that, that he shows that to us as a mother, you know?
Well, and I think there's also an idea of, I don't really have a lot of people in my life I have to take care of, but there are a lot of people that I can care for. And there are a lot of people that I can pour into and be a part of their life and be someone that they can depend on, you know, that that they feel like they can come to if they need someone or something. And I think, I feel like, I don't know how to say this, and I don't want to say this, not accusatory, but flippantly, I guess, I've not felt like I've missed something by not birthing a child. I still have a desire to have children. And I very much have kind of moved my focus to hopefully adoption one day. That's not to say that if I do get married, something, you know, a reaction will happen that I do need to birth a child. But I don't feel like that's something that I have, like, just innately inside of me. I do want to be a mother, and I do want to have children, but I don't feel like at this point in my life it's going to be...
You don't have to bear children.
Right. And I don't think I'm sad about that. I don't think I've mourned that. I don't think it's something that I feel like, oh, this breaks my heart. But I'm not married. And I'm not the person who is trying to have a child. You know, because I know that that is definitely heartbreaking for people who want to birth a child. Like, I completely have, I have walked through that with people who have had that heartbreak, who have felt the need to do that. And I feel like, I don't think that makes me less of a person or less of a woman for not having that necessarily that full on desire. I also don't think it would make me less of a mother when I don't have a child if I do adopt.
Right.
You know,
but then also you're looking at that in the context of if a woman is married, but I will grieve over the fact if I never get married and never have kids. And so sometimes my frustration is, well, at least a married person has the potential to have a child. And then sometimes I sit here and I'm like, but I don't even have, I mean.
I will say part of me, I mean, obviously not right now because my finances are so depleted. I am not opposed to being single and adopting. Like, that's not something that I feel like will keep me. I would love a partner. I would love that. I don't know if I necessarily want a partner because I want the companion for me, or if I want it because I also would love the help of raising a child.
Yeah.
But I don't see that being something that would keep me from following that route.
Well, and I find that really fascinating because my, I don't think that I'm that person. I'm like, I want a husband in order to, I mean, even if it is through adoption, I just don't feel that I have that same calling, which I think is a calling. Like, if you are a single woman, that is definitely a calling from God to, well, I mean, it's a call to adopt a child under whatever circumstances. But I just, I don't think that that's me. I think if I never get married, now, I say that, and then the Lord, he gonna do something, you know, but yeah, but I mean, I just think that, you know, for me, the way I envision it, and again, our vision is not God's vision, but the way I envision it is to, you know, mother young women or kids that are not my own, but not as their actual, you know, guardian. Yeah.
Well, and I'm not waiting for that to happen for me to step into a role like that. Right. You know, I don't feel like I have to have a child with my last name or, you know, whatever in order to step into the role of being the nurturer and you know, taking care of, and because at some point, you know, we've talked about this before, as our parents are getting older, roles reverse, you know, and you are at that point being the caretaker for your parents.
It's
and
true.
Obviously you're never called the mother in that situation, but it does, I mean, people talk about how it just kind of reverses and you become...
You're the caretaker.
Yeah.
When they used to be that for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And I know that's not the same idea, but it kind of is. Like, it kind of is the same. I mean,
it makes sense.
It's more heartbreaking, I think, than, you know, being a mother of a newborn baby and having all that hope and that beauty and that excitement versus being the quote-unquote mother in that scenario to someone who is ailing and hurting. Mm-hmm. But you're still pouring into them. You're still being that aspect of God to someone, being that nurturer, being that loving person who is, you know, sacrificing their time and their energy and sometimes their health to make sure that this other person is living their life in comfort, you know? And I think isn't that what a mother does? I mean, I think about my parents and how much a lot of their life were sacrifices for us, you know? And that's a big part of, you know, God made a big old sacrifice for us too. So I kind of feel like that's definitely a part of being that aspect of God to other people. Mm-hmm.
But I love that. I learned something new about you today.
What?
That you would want to adopt and not be married.
I'm saying that's
something that you're even.
Yeah. I mean, if I ever had the finances to do that, guys, I'd probably have a whole.
That's awesome.
You'd have all the children.
All of them. Just take them all in.
You love the babies.
I'd probably start my own school or
would just bring them all in.
So much.
I love it so much.
Because at the end of the day, I mean, and not everyone has this. I mean, I do want all the babies.
I know she wants all the babies.
And by babies, y'all should also know, I mean like up to 18. Like, I think of them as being little babies too.
Even some get people in their early 20s you call babies.
That's true.
Yep. Yeah,
that is true.
Yep.
Well, and like one of the things, and this is just me being truthful, guys, but it was funny because at my office the other day, someone had brought in their baby and the baby was just, you know, crying. And it's like our office is situated stuff that there are like shafts in the middle. Mm-hmm. So whatever's going on every floor, I mean, I didn't know where the baby was in the building, but I mean, it's kind of like my sister says, she's like, I have to remind myself that Jesus said, let the little children come unto me because children get on my nerves. You know, so like, and I have to say, I feel like that the older I get without having children, that I find myself being more and more like, you think that's cute that your child is doing that, but actually, it's annoying. So, you know, but it's like, I have to watch myself on that because I'm like, oh my gosh, oh, there are kids here. And that sounds horrible because I do love children and, but I'm kind of finding myself doing that a little bit more.
It's hard.
But I think it's that, you know, and like, I don't have nieces and nephews. Mm-hmm. And so I find myself kind of like having to really put that in check sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's funny because my dad, my mom watched my sister's kids while they were, until they went to school, basically. And my dad had such a hard time sometimes. They're like, why are they so loud? What's going on? Now, he had kids.
Right. Yeah.
And he still wasn't used to it. Now, granted, he worked full time. And so, but it was still funny. It's like, it had been so long since he'd had kids that he wasn't used to it.
Exactly.
You know, he's kind of a little older and set in his way.
Yeah.
So it just took a little minute to, you know, get used to it. They're like, why do they make so much noise? And I was like, they're kids.
Exactly. It's what they're good at.
What they do. But
it's funny.
I mean, I think that even if you don't adopt, even if you're not quote unquote a mom in the sense that you have a child who calls you mother, you're still having opportunities
always
throughout. And I think it's being aware of those situations. I think it's being willing to accept that role in people's lives. Mm-hmm. I also think it's knowing the difference between being a mother and mothering someone versus babysitting someone and being too overpowering and trying to be up in their business and taking care of their business versus letting them live their life and then kind of being a good reasonable voice in their life going, maybe that's not the best decision, but I'll still love you anyway.
You know, I'm kind of wondering if that kind of relationship in some ways, not that it's more powerful, but think about, like, sometimes if my mom is trying to tell me something, I dismiss what she says. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes, a lot of times, I'll come back to it and be like, she was right about that or whatever. Right. But I'm also sometimes more apt to take the advice of someone that is not my family.
Right. I've seen that.
You know, and so I think that to have that kind of relationship, God-given relationship with someone who you can speak into their lives in a way that, you know, others who, that they can't, you know, which is, actually listen.
I think that's a common thought. Like, I think it's very true. I see it, especially working in school now with these teenagers, thinking that, you know, adults have no clue. And I'm like, I think I was the exact same way, especially with my mom. I didn't think adults in general had no clue. I was just like, my mom doesn't get me. She doesn't understand me. She doesn't know who I am. And, of course, now I'm at the point where, like, my mom was always right. Exactly. I don't know why you doubted her.
Yeah.
But then also, still sometimes, too, if she gives me an opinion that's somewhat different than mine, I'm like, are you sure? Like, really? But, yeah, but if someone else were to kind of feed into it, some people, and that's the thing too, is it's not my job to be mother to everyone, you know, just like it's, it's not everyone's responsibility to always speak into my life, you know? So I think there's also developing those relationships and recognizing those relationships.
And the, discernment as to when to speak, when to not speak. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that too in all these situations as well.
Yeah. Because I think it can be, and it can be both ways. Like, I don't think, I think it would be a time, maybe if I'm being the mother in someone else's life, that they at some point can turn around and reciprocate that.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I feel like maybe that's the right word. Like all three of us have done that for each other, too, because I think that's what you do in friendship as well. I mean, it's different. We're not talking. I guess we nurture each other.
Yeah.
We do.
For sure.
You girls did that to me earlier today. I didn't realize I had this burden on me, and you girls just said something. All of a sudden, I'm crying, going, oh, apparently I was having an issue with this.
Yeah.
We nurture each other, too, in friendships.
I will grieve if even financially the opportunity doesn't come for me to have a kid. Because I do want to have children. And I want, I guess I'd say that's a natural instinct for women. But, I mean, I know there are women who don't want to have kids, who aren't called for that. And I think, listen to that calling. Like, you know, I think that's also, whether you believe in God or don't, that's probably God talking to you saying, you know, maybe you get that fulfillment elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and I think we touched on this maybe in, like, our very first episode, but the fact that I maybe don't feel complete as a woman. And will I ever feel complete if I don't bear children?
Since that's what, like, we were,
I mean, yeah, I mean, that
do.
Was the first woman's responsibility, basically, or her gifting.
Well, I guess the other thing, too, is not being fruitful and bearing children, is that also part of the fall, too?
Well, and I think that that's a really good point, because throughout Scripture, women are considered cursed if they cannot bear children. And I think that that lingers over into current day, to where if a woman, now, whatever she believes, you know, which I find this so interesting, that even women that are not believers, if they're not able to have children, it's like it's a curse on their lives.
Yeah.
Like, why can I not do what's been done for centuries?
So easily.
Yeah. You know, that really, as a woman, should be the most natural thing that we do, which is to birth children.
Yeah.
But then it's not the easiest thing in the world. I mean, you
because of the curse.
Well, yeah, exactly. But it's just. I think we put, like, I 100% agree with you that we do put that pressure on ourselves. But when you look at it, it's not an easy thing. And it's something that women struggle with a lot, you know, and even when they get pregnant, even if their bodies are able to, you know, do that, there's so many health risks and health concerns that happen in that process, too. So it's not, I mean, it's still a big thing. I mean, you think about in, you know, the Wild West, you know, like I always do think about that.
You think about all the time.
People don't make it through, it's a serious thing. It is a beautiful thing. It's a miraculous thing.
Right.
But it's not just it's something that just happens.
Right.
You know, because it is.
Right. But I do find it interesting that even throughout scripture, that's a common theme.
That is very interesting.
If you were not able to have children as a woman, you were considered cursed. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, one of the saddest stories in the world to me is Rachel, you know, I mean, that she couldn't have his children.
Yeah.
And that was horrible, which she did end up having children.
And wasn't she the one that he wanted to begin with? She was the one who was desired. Like, it was almost like a trade-off, like, Leah had the children because she was so brokenhearted that he wasn't.
You're right. Scripture literally says God had pity on Leah because he saw she wasn't loved, and that's why he opened her womb, and she had child after child after child after child. And then Rachel's over here grieving because she's still not able to have children.
You're like, which there's a lot, we're not going to get into that today, but there's a lot in the Old Testament, because I've been studying more of that. It's just, you know, it's really hard stuff because it seems very harsh and severe. But that's like one of those stories where it's like, I mean, I don't know what part Rebecca I love you, Lord. Rachel. You know, if she was unkind to Leah or what went on there,
why couldn't you have had both?
Yeah.
Why couldn't you have been adored and have babies? Why did you either have babies or you were adored? Mm-hmm. Although I will say, in Leah's, you know, defense, apparently he adored her enough to get her pregnant multiple times.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of his children.
Good grief.
That is true.
But, I mean, it's true. It's, I don't know.
It's just interesting. Mm-hmm. But it's just really interesting that that's still something that, you know, I think we as women, whether you're not able to physically have children or you don't have the opportunity to have children because you are still single, that's something that.
And I think what's so hard for me, too, is that I'm supposed to be okay with it. You're a woman. You can just be who you want to be. And if you're single, you don't have to have kids to be validated. And I don't feel like I need to have kids to be validated, but it's okay that I want to have kids. I don't think it's right for people, or not people. I've never had anybody in my life to say that. But I do sometimes feel like, and I guess when I say society, I mean Hollywood. And we've got so much in our face and social media and all this other stuff just like inundating us with the idea of it's like, be your own woman and do your own thing. And I'm like, but I kind of like what has happened throughout history. I kind of would like to have children and be a mom and do all that. But then also, I guess, finding opportunities elsewhere to have that role fulfilled. Because I also feel like, and this is probably something that my therapist has said to me, that if I have a desire in my heart, you know, to be married, to have kids, that if I'm praying for God to fulfill that desire, maybe it doesn't happen the way that I think of it. Maybe it's not literally having a child, but there is something in my life that leads to that fulfillment, that God is going to use that heart and that desire somehow for his will.
That's good.
Will. Not wheel.
Wheel.
For his, yeah, for his wheel. You know.
That's good.
And not only will his plan for me be played out, but I will also feel fulfilled and filled up in, not necessarily that same way, but definitely feeling like maybe I'm not missing what I thought I would be missing. Mm-hmm. You know, now looking forward, I think that will be sad for me if I look forward and think I don't have kids. But if I continue to pray and live out the life that I feel like God is leading me through, maybe I'll get to the point in my life where I'm like, oh, maybe I'm not as grief stricken as I thought I would be.
Yeah.
But also, it could totally break my heart too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think Melissa, my sister, and I were having a conversation about this the other day, and she was telling me about one of her friends said, but it was the whole idea that, you know, that one of the reasons maybe why God doesn't give us the full picture and we don't know the future, we don't know, it's so that we have hope. Because I think if I, like you said, like if I knew for a fact that I was not going to be married. I was not going to have kids. Like, if right I now knew that now, it would yeah be too much for me to bear.
Yes. Well, yes.
I would just yeah be like, oh, I mean, I would be devastated.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think...
Because even thinking it might not happen yes is pretty hard yeah to yes live with.
Yes. Yeah. But I think that God gives us the precious gift of hope of mm the good things that he has in store for us. And I think that I get lost in that sometimes when I'm like, oh my gosh, the worst thing, and I think I've mentioned this before, the worst thing in the world for me is to get caught up in these viral videos of people. So the last one was these men, their wives telling them that they're going to be a dad and like their reactions. Uh-huh. And I'm just like sitting there squalling my eyeballs out because they're so stinking mm-hmm precious. And I'm like, I really want to be able to do that.
Oh, okay. My God.
But, you know, I think that I can, and we've talked about this before, too, so, you know, it's that broken record, but I think that it's easy to look at what we don't have and to, like, I get real, sometimes, like, I look at the future. I have a fear of the future, like, a legitimate mm-hmm fear that, you know, God and I have to, he has to work on me with a lot. But the whole idea that he has good things for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I'm just so scared that the future's going to be miserable. Mm-hmm. That it's like, I feel like that I get in this web of, well, and I forget to hope in the good that he has in store. Wow.
But yeah, isn't that what anxiety is anyway?
It is. It's always looking at the worst case scenario.
It's the whole idea that when whatever situation I'm looking at, in anything, it doesn't just have to be about parenting or getting married or, you know, it could be job, it could be finances, whatever. It's me looking at it playing out towards the negative.
Yeah, that's so true.
And never going the way of the good, you know? And I think that's, you know, just anxiety in all people. It's the thought that when we think 5 years down the road, mm-hmm, it's going to be not what we want at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if I had looked at my life at 30, what it would look like at 35, which is the age I am now, I would be like, ugh, that's not where I wanted to be.
Mm.
But now that I'm here, mm-hmm, I mean, I love the job that I... There are definitely things in my life that I would love to have been different.
Yes.
But there's also a lot in my life that is great.
Yes.
You mm know? And I don't think I would have been okay with that at 30 years old. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm at 35, I'm like, I'm okay. You mm-hmm know, there are days, don't get me wrong, I mean, there are days that are harder than others, but I also don't think that's because I'm single. I think that's because I'm human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, and I think that's with any marital status person, if we were to look at our life, like you said, if we were to know in the future what our lives were going to be,
mm-hmm,
it would be either somehow disappointment, because we look at big things. What are the big things that are playing out our life, and not mm-hmm in the day-to-day, the friendships, the family, the enriching things that I experience mm-hmm in the midst of not having the most glamorous job in the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But also, you know, because I think if at 30 years old I looked to see if I was working at a school, my reaction would have been like, no, what? I wouldn't be. What are you yeah talking about?
Yeah.
But now that I'm there, I love it. I love going to that school yeah and working with those kids and being around them. And it's because I'm here to experience it yeah versus looking at what I think it looks like from the outside.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think also, and I would encourage, especially young women, especially when you're in your 20s and the world is still your oyster.
Hey, the world's still my oyster.
You know, I think that life can kind of beat some of your hope out of you sometimes. I'm just going to be real about
yeah
this.
That's true.
Because I think it was easier for me when I was younger to set up the future in a more beautiful way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, you know, like, I mean, my expectations mm-hmm were really high.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, super high.
And you expect these things will come any day.
Right. And yeah so now as I'm getting older, it's almost like I'm more pragmatic. I'm more realistic. I'm more like, but I think that the negative side of that, if you let it go to that negative side, is the anxiety of then all of a sudden, what is there going to be good at all?
Yeah, exactly.
Waiting yeah for me? Like, yeah, is yeah there anything good that's, but maybe too, I mean, this kind of brings it all back to the fact that I'm not promised mm that I'm going to have a future, okay? So it's, but it, but I mean, you know, that's why we're to be grateful, just like what you were talking about, like seeing where you are and being grateful for where you are. It's like, I need to be grateful for the blessings that I do have. I mean, it's like sometimes, and I know Jerry has expressed this, and I'm kind of going through a season of this right now, of just watching my parents like they're time bombs of, you know, well, they're going to get sick here in the next few years, and then one of them's going to die, and then, you know, and I'm like super scared of that. I mean, it's like really, really freaking me out. Instead of while they're here and they're healthy and we're, which I, you know, I mean, I know that you've shared so much about this, Jerry, but it's just like enjoying the now and the present.
Yeah. Well, and it goes back to that, that story you told about Corey Ten Boom, you know, that he wouldn't give the ticket until right before. And I think that's just life. God's not, God doesn't. We are not big picture people. God is the big picture deity, and I am here to live my life. That doesn't mean I don't need to plan for the future, or I don't need to make arrangements and stuff. Like, I'm not saying just live today and not worry about tomorrow. I'm not going to go out and spend all my money, although I don't have that much left, you know, just because tomorrow doesn't mean anything. Because it does. I still live in the world. I still have to be practical.
Yeah.
But I don't have to be a fortune teller.
Right.
And I tend to do that. And I tend to do that in the negative most of the time of, well, I'm gonna move out. You know, we've talked about buying a, living with roommates and moving out. I'm going to move out. I'm going to be depressed because I'm going to be by myself all the time. And then I'm just, you know, And I'm like, okay, but I'm not moved out yet. So clearly my mental state is not ready for it right now. Right. But, and God's known that. Right. And so he's working on me to go, that's not the right way of thinking, you know? And I think once I'm able to kind of get through a right way of thinking, then he's going to be like, okay, this, you know, I think it's all a process. It's all steps, but I definitely go into the, let me think about everything and how negative it's going to be. And if 5 years down the road, my life looks like this, well, I'm going to be so depressed. And it's like, but when I'm there in that moment, how much am I still going to love my life?
Yeah,
you know, I don't get depressed about my life today until I start worrying about my future. And I'm like, I don't have to worry about my future.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's that's taken care of. And like you said, I may not even have one. I don't even know. I may be with that out there. I may be with, I'm not promised tomorrow.
All the hope. We're not. That's a scripture.
So, I mean, I think, yeah, if I think about my life years from now and I think, oh, this is what it'll look like. It can be a little sad, but then I don't know what it's going to be like, what it's going to look like when I'm actually there.
Yeah. Right?
And who's going to be in my life and how enriched that's going
to
be.
Right. Maybe we need to focus, like you were saying, just like focus on whatever step we are on right now and be praying that when it's time to take the next step, God will reveal that and you take that next step and then you focus on that step. And that's still looking towards the future with a hope and an expectancy in some ways, knowing that God's going to keep leading us. But enjoying the moment we're in.
And if I've enjoyed it so far.
Yes.
I mean, there have been heartbreaking moments. Do not get me wrong. And there were moments last week that I was in tears. Maybe the week before. Whatever. So, I mean, it's not like to say that I'm just like living on cloud nine.
She's just 100% happy all of the time.
You know, I'm not that person. And my personality is not such. I mean, I'm in therapy and I need help. But I still have a great life. I still have people that I love dearly. I still am surrounded by people that I'm, and that, at the end of the day, isn't that just what it's about?
Yeah,
it's the people that we are surrounding ourselves with. You know, I will love to also have a little bit more money, Lord Jesus, but that's not what this life is about, you know? And in the context of the kingdom, what am I doing to expand that for the Lord? You know, how am I playing my part in getting the word out for Christ?
Yeah.
You know, and that's,
what is your eternal investment?
Oh.
Ooh.
Mic drop.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. How can I be a nurturer for the Lord now? You know, what does that look like and how can I feed into that?
Yeah. And I think it's something, because like I've been, like I just felt a real conviction after that sermon the other Sunday to pray for God to give me wisdom and guidance of what mothering looks like in my job, of what nurturing those around me looks like within my job. I mean,
and you have to be careful too to not be
making it myself, like
doing No, I don't mean that. I mean to be the nurturer, but not to put so much on yourself that you are carrying way too many because you can't mother everyone.
No.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And I can't carry everyone's burdens for them.
Right.
You know, and
even a mother can't do that. No, I mean they will. Yeah. They will worry about their children.
Yeah.
But that's still not
right.
That's still not what God wants for them either, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen naturally. We're going to worry about people we care mm-hmm. about. It's yeah. just how life is.
Right.
But I don't think God wants that for us, mm-hmm. even in the role of a mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, one of the ways that I've thought about it, just like little things, because it's good. I think one of the things that we love about our moms is that they remember us. And by saying that, I mean they know what's going on in our lives and they ask us about it.
Yeah. They pursue us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I've been trying to do is when someone shares something with me is in, you know, that next week follow up with them about it. Yeah. And just if it's just in a random conversation and they're like, yeah, well I'm trying to, you know, get my house ready so that I can sell it.
Yeah.
To like in a couple weeks say, so how is that going?
Yeah.
How is that?
That means so much when people remember that.
Yes.
And I've got to get better at that because when I've had people come up to me and remember
yes.
something I've shared with them and ask me how it's going, it means the world to me. I feel so loved. I feel so yes. nurtured and cared about.
Exactly.
That's really good, yeah. Meredith.
So, yeah. You know, and but I found it interesting that that's something I've thought about after I prayed to God, Lord, show me the ways that I can, you know,
it's
nurture
others.
It's almost
like if you ask him, he provides. That's so crazy.
I mean, mind's blown right now, guys. Absolutely blown.
He's good like that.
He's so good like that. That's why one of the many reasons why we love him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also, but because of Jesus.
And the salvation.
And the eternal life.
I said one of many.
That's my insurance.
1,437,000 that we love him.
Yeah.
Or yeah, some
yeah.
number.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We won't be mothers, but we don't know what that looks like.
No.
Yeah.
And we have to
but
trust
if we prayed,
Lord.
God might show us.
Exactly.
That's exactly what he is.
That's it.
Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless.
And now let's segue into our sharing corner.
That's my line.
Oh, sorry. I feel like we've done this before.
Yeah.
Whatever. Have you ever gotten to say it?
No.
Meredith? Why don't you try it?
You would try it. You try it this one time.
I feel like you could do it.
It's already done. Let's just let her share.
Let's just share. It's corner. In my corner. Okay, so this scripture is Matthew 6, and it starts at 25, and I'm going to kind of skip through some things. But it was, it's what you'll probably be very familiar with, and one that I draw from a lot because I tend to be an anxious person. But my pastor preached on it a couple of weeks ago, and it really stuck with me, some things that I hadn't thought about. So I'm going to read a little bit, and then I might share with you my insights. And by might, I mean definitely I will. Okay, so 6:25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? We'll skip a little bit. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And he spoke specifically about the birds of the field, which I didn't read about, but I didn't read in this setting.
But she don't like birds.
But also thinking about the flowers, and, you know, today we were in nature a little bit. You might see some pictures that we took. And the joy that we experienced in their beauty and the vibrant colors, you know, it's been kind of gloomy and rainy, and so spring is finally looking like it's showing up after all this time. And, you know, you look out the window and you see these beautiful flowers and the kind of revitalizing of the earth that is starting in the spring. And yet Solomon in all his glory didn't hold a candle to what he created. And yet I spent all my time worrying and anxious and just holding on to things that I don't need to be. And yet God provides these beautiful flowers, and they're not, they don't think about anything because I don't believe that they have that ability. And yet they're beautiful. And the blessing that they give to me as I look at them
from inside. For the most part.
That's why it particularly spoke to me today, because I was in nature and, you know, those beautiful pictures that we took. And the fact that these flowers are just, you know, can be breathtaking. And just the more that God wants to do in my life and in my experiences, you know, maybe I won't look like a tulip, but I'll still maybe have a beautiful life.
Are you a beautiful person?
A tulip to me. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
You're welcome.
So it's just, I mean, I feel like there's so many scriptures, and we've talked about, there's so many scriptures regarding worry and anxiety, because God knows that we're going to worry and we're going to be anxious. But we can toil and stress and kind of fixate on things, but at the end of the day, my God is going to take care of me, and he's going to be there, and he's going to provide. And, you know, one thing, Charity, I've kind of remember what your mom always says, like, is your day provided for? Like, have your needs of today been met? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had some doctor's bills that I know are going to come up, and I've had some expenses that I'm thinking about spending, and it's really helped me to go, okay, but today, mm-hmm. am I going to be taken care of today? I don't know when that doctor bill is going to come in, but I also don't know when I'm going to get paid. Well, I do know when I'm going to get paid. But, you know, or if some other form of help is going to come financially. So today, I don't have to worry about that expense. I mean, you do have to, you know, make sure you're not spending all your money recklessly, but not compound that worry and that stress with thinking 3 weeks down the way, what are my finances going to be? Just going, today, was I covered? Do I have a roof over my head? Do I have food? Do I have clothes on my back? Maybe they're not the most glamorous ones, but Solomon in all his glory wasn't even as beautiful as a lily. So, right. You know, mm-hmm. I don't need to strive for that necessarily. And that's been amazing how much calmer I've been able to be when I go, okay, but tonight when I lay my head down, I was taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's it.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Amen and God bless.
Hey, BSers. Remember to check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Just type in Blessed Singleness Podcast and you'll be able to find us.
And wherever you listen to us, we're going to just know the three R's. Rate, review, and
remember to listen.
That's the one. Podcast. Remember to listen. Okay. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.